You know, there was a terrible accident this morning, and as I was driving, I can go two ways to get to the church. And my husband on Sundays, he likes to go the back way, and I never like the back way. I always like, you know, going down Melrose and Vista Way and stuff like that. And this morning, I had to get over into a lane, and I could have gone the back way. And I thought, oh no, I don't want to, because I'll probably, knowing me, get stuck behind the train things. So I go down the longer way into Vista Way and Santa Fe, and all of a sudden I see the train lights go, you know, whatever, what do you, the train traffic lights or whatever to tell you to stop, started going on. No big deal, it's a train, whatever. Good time to practice my words, right? Or the lack thereof. And it's like, I've got to get to the church and teach on the tongue. Hurry up and move. But, you know, sadly, we were there and I was in this lane and the sprinter was there and we just couldn't tell what was happening. And all of a sudden, all the police and the fire trucks come. And so I pulled Italian on them and I just said, you know what, I'm going for it. And I went from this lane and cut across and came a back way. But I think a lot of our ladies are stuck in that traffic. And so I want to pray this morning. From what I've heard, it's not a good accident. And so let's pray to the Lord for these people. God, Lord, we thank you that we have the ability to come to you in prayer, Lord, that we can pray for those that we don't even know. We can just hear of something and commit the family to you, Lord, the witnesses to you, and the train conductor and the first responders, Lord, all of them that are witnessing this tragedy, God, we just lift them up to you, that somehow in the depths of their heart that they would turn to you, that you would put Christians in their paths, God, to comfort them, that can listen to what's going on inside of them and the sorrow from what they see. It's something we don't think about often with first responders, Lord, and what they witness on a daily basis. And so we want to lift all of them up to you, Lord, and just give them your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, comfort those who need comfort, and may Christians all around North County have their ears and their eyes and their hearts open to those who are in despair, Lord, and lift them up to you before the throne so that you can comfort as nobody else can comfort. And Lord, we give you this time that we have together to study your word, to study James and our tongues and just the challenge that it is, Lord, and yet it's for our good. And so we just look forward to hearing from you this morning in Jesus' name, amen. So let's read James 3, 1 to 12. If you have your Bible, you can open there. I don't know if your Bible has like little titles on top of it, but mine does. The Untamable Tongue. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, the Father, and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Kind of gets us right here, right? Pierces us right to the bone and to the marrow of our very soul, our very way of thinking. And it's so easy to just skim the words, right? And just say, oh yeah, I know, I need prayer so I can help with my tongue. But it's so much more than that, because this book is holy. The words that are written in this book are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are holy. It's not just like some people got together and said, hey, let's write a list of right and wrongs for other people. No, these words are to jump out of the pages and jump into our hearts and into our lives and change us, challenge us, cause us to see who we really are before the Lord Almighty. Again, we see that James uses the words, my brothers. He's amongst them. He's never putting himself above them. He uses the word, my brothers. He uses the word, we, if we are teaching. And to be honest, when I read, you know, the first couple verses, because the title does talk about the tongue, it's easy to kind of like skip over the first couple of verses about teaching and wonder, excuse me, why are those words even there? You know, why is James talking about teaching while he's talking about the tongue? But if we consider it, when you're teaching, you're using your tongue. Whenever we have a platform, we use our words, right? And those words can influence other people. And that's why it's so important that when we are teaching, whether we're teaching a Bible study, whether we're teaching our children, whether we're teaching in a school, or we're teaching Sunday school, that we heed the words of James, that we realize how important it is that our words are being listened to by many people. There needs to be a reverence for the word of God, because God is holy. And sometimes I think we forget that God is holy. We get used to our Bibles, and it can easily become words. But they're holy words. They're words spoken and inspired by the Holy Spirit, each and every word that is in our Bible. In Luke 12:48, it says, to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And to whom much has been entrusted, of him more will be asked. And when we teach, it's a high responsibility. We need to reverence the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we have to ask the Holy Spirit when we're studying the word to help us, to enable us to understand what he is saying. Who better to go to than the author? James uses teachers as an example, I think, because they do have a platform, and it would be so easy for somebody to get up here and to just give their own thoughts and their own opinions on things. Let's give our own take on what we think the Word of God says, without praying, without seeking the Lord to see what he has to say, because we all can give our own thoughts about the Bible, right? That's like we have a gazillion different commentaries that we can use. But even using a commentary is okay, but then we have to take it to the Lord and say, but what are you saying, Lord? It's easy that we could cross a line and say things that would go against what the Word of God says. There's a responsibility and an accountability to those who teach, not only for the words that are spoken in the church, but for the words that are spoken outside of the church. You know, in joking, in cracking jokes, in not that a pastor can't have a sense of humor. We don't want just like some, you know, wound up person. We want somebody that has the joy of the Lord in them. But we need to be careful how we use our words, how we joke, letting our guard down. You know, once we leave these doors, do we just let our guard down and say things and engage in conversations that aren't pleasing to the Lord. And other people are taking note and other people are watching. Sadly, we have seen, you know, we've seen preachers throughout history that have been in conversations, have spoken words that they shouldn't have spoken, and we've seen them fall. We've seen them let their guard down, speaking about things that are inappropriate. We have a responsibility with our tongues to be pleasing at all times, not just when it's convenient, not just as soon as we walk into church. You know, how many of us argue with our kids, our spouses on Sunday mornings before we get here, and it's like slam the door, but as soon as we get in that parking lot and as soon as we come here, it's like, hello, how are you guys doing? You know, and that's just a fact of life that we're like that, but God wants us to use the same words outside of the church that we use inside of the church. James moves on and he talks about different examples about a bit. He used the example of a bit on a horse so that the horse would obey. A little bit is only 1 inch round, but it controls a 1,500-pound animal. I thought that was pretty amazing. I really did have a good time this past few weeks on Google because I love just looking things up, and I was looking at horse bits online, and then I was going to like show that and show, but I got really sad after looking at it and seeing what the bit does to the horse. I was like, oh, that's mean. But sometimes, you know, it's not pleasant, is it, to have somebody control our mouth and control our moves. And I thought about like, okay, what if we all had bits in our mouth? And but we wouldn't because they're just too gross. But I thought the next best example is going to the dentist, right? And how like you're sitting in the dental chair and they have your mouth open. Marla told me, don't do that, please, Mom. But I'm gonna. Like you have that rubbery thing in your mouth, stays open like that. And they are putting all this thing, and then the assistant is over here with the thing that's sucking out your saliva. And then what happens? The dentist says, so how are you? How you feeling? And you're like, We can't talk. We have no control over our mouth at that time, right? Because the dentist is able to move our tongues, our mouths, and our chins in ways that we never even thought was possible. Never. This is how pliable we want our mouths to be. That God himself, that the Holy Spirit would have control, and he can move our mouths, he can move our tongues, he can move our speech any way that he would so desire. James then uses the example of a rudder of a ship. I never even heard of a rudder, and I really like boats. But I never even knew what a rudder was. And the ship can be really big, and it's moved along. You know, it's strong winds moves the boat. But it's steered. No matter how big that boat is or that ship is, it's steered by a very small rudder. And when the ship captain steers the rudder, the whole ship will be able to turn just by this little thing. So James uses these examples to show us, yes, our tongues are very small. They're a very small part of our body, but our words are very powerful, and they can steer us in directions that we don't want to go in or that we didn't even think possible. How many times have we said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that? It's a common statement that we make. So who knows how much our tongue weighs? Yes, I Googled it. Did you ever think? And so then I was kind of thinking like, it's 3 ounces. But how did they weigh it? Like, you put it on the scale. This gets recorded. But like, but do they just put the tongue on the scale? I don't know how they weighed it. But Google says that it weighs 3 ounces. Sometimes, and men's tongues weigh more than women. But guess what? I think we use them way more than men do. They are so small. They're so tiny. And yet the power that is in our tongues. And James moves on to the example of a forest being set on fire. And we live in Southern California, right? So we understand fires. We have an entire season that is called fire season. Entire communities get destroyed by these little fires that start. And James is comparing our tongues, the words that we speak, and what comes out of our mouth as little fires. Fires that can cause great damage. And how is this tongue, how is the fire started? James tells us at the end of verse 6, it's set on fire by hell. I couldn't get past that. On Saturday, I was sitting there with Jim and just saying, I can't believe that I've forgotten that this is what James compares our speech to, our tongues. And the thought that I would lend my tongue to Satan and allow him to use it to start a fire, to spark something negative and dangerous and fierce in somebody else's life. Jesus used this word. It's called Gehenna. And Jesus used that word when he described the place of ultimate judgment and condemnation where Satan lives. Satan. I don't want my tongue controlled by Satan. I don't want to be his mouthpiece. I don't want to be his spokesperson. Do you? But that's what we're doing when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to control our mouth, to control the words that we say. We're handing it over. It's like handing our tongue on a platter and say, here, go ahead. Wreak havoc. Satan is the father of lies, and he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We don't want a part of his work. But when we succumb to that temptation, when we let our guard down even for a moment, it's like we're saying to him, hey, use me for whatever you want to destroy somebody. And it seems a little bit harsh to say that, but it's the truth. We have to kind of, you know, I like pictures. And so that's what I had to imagine when I was reading these words, is that I'm just saying, here you go, use it. Rather than saying, here you go, Holy Spirit, control it, tame it. He has a language all of his own, a language that the Lord doesn't want us to know, doesn't want us to share. And it's the complete opposite of the language of heaven. You know, in 2020, thanks to Google again, I don't know why, but I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I wonder how many cigarettes have caused big fires, right? So I Googled it and I found the answer. In 2020, someone tossed out a cigarette butt to the ground and it caused a fire that burned 300 acres. That little stub of a cigarette that had just a few embers left on it gets tossed out and wreaks havoc on an entire city or 300 acres of it. Even though there were warnings all over, do not throw your cigarettes out the window. This person decided that they were smarter than the warning. They thought it was a harmless act. Oh, what does it matter? I've done it 1,000 times. No fires ever started. But guess what? There's always that one time. We say things over and over again, and we just get so familiar with it. We talk about a person, because, you know, their personality doesn't match up with ours. And it's never caused any harm that we know of. But then we hear down the road that they did something. Our words do matter. Harmless acts that we ignore. Warnings that we ignore. We don't take the time to think about what we're saying. We don't think about the destruction that our words can cause. That little phrase, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean it to come out that way. That's one of my things that I found myself saying a lot. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. And then we kind of blame it on the other person and say, well, you shouldn't have taken it like that. No, we shouldn't have said it. We can't take back what we said. We can't take back words once they're spoken. There's so many things in life that we can take back, but we can never take back the words that we speak. Just the same as the person that threw his cigarette out, he can't go and squash his cigarette, extinguish his cigarette. It's too late. The damage has been done. Our words can start fires that go on for miles. And it's so much easier now because we have such great technology, right? We all love technology. But we have to be on guard at how free and how easy it is to use technology for the wrong things. What used to take a week to get maybe from California to another state, or even longer to get to another country, can get there in a matter of seconds now because we have technology. Rumors can spread faster than ever. Negative words about people that we know, friends, people who were our friends, family members, travel so quickly now. Proverbs 26:20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Don't we want to be those women that put the fire out? We don't want to start the fires. We want to be those that come and put the fire out. The fire goes out, but a lot of times, you know, if you see, if you have ever lit in a fire and how the red embers are still there, and they're just kind of crackling and, you know, just being there quietly until click, click, you hear little crackles. And how easy it is to throw something, another piece of wood on that fire and to start it up again when it was trying to die down. We want to be like fire extinguishers, right? We want to take our lives and be used to pour the living water, the living words of Jesus on that fire and put it out. Matthew 12:36 says that we are going to give an account for every word that we speak. That scares me. How flippantly I use my mouth. How I just go about and say things. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said it. Going through my text and it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. You know, all those things, but I said it. And I really don't know. Sometimes I talk with God and I'm like, but I don't think you're really going to have a big list of all the wrong things I said, because there's no tears in heaven. So maybe it's really not going to be there. I don't know. I don't want to see a list. I don't even like thinking back to things that I've said when I shouldn't have said things. In Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And that's what James taught us in the first chapter. Exhorted us to get wisdom. Ask freely and God will give it to us. Are we asking him? Are we asking him for wisdom in just decisions that we have to make? Are we asking him for wisdom to know when to speak, when to comment, and when not to? When to just back up and let silence be golden? James verse 10, out of the same mouth, I think Erica was sharing this one today, comes blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. My sisters, these things ought not to be so. We only have one mouth. We don't have a spiritual mouth and a non-spiritual mouth. We have one mouth, and we must choose how are we going to give it, use it. God gave it to us. He gave it to us for a purpose, to exhort, to build up, to pray. He didn't give it to us so that we could use it for evil, that we could use it to tear people down. Would we curse God? No. I don't think if I asked you, hey, do you curse God? Most of us, we're going to say, no, we don't. But as James says, we curse other people. And it doesn't mean that we're just saying a swear word to somebody, because, you know, all of us good Christians, we never swear. But do we speak deceitful things and hateful things to one another or about one another? Do we wish harm on other people? Do we say, I hope they get what they deserve? Yeah, I've said that a million times. Well, let God get them. Like that's some kind of a spiritual thing to say. How do we bless God with the same mouth that curses another human being? A human being that was made in the image of God. There's not one person walking this earth that God has not made in his own image. And we take on that role of judging them, of tearing them down. Imagine what his father's heart must feel like. He wants them to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And rather than us praying and asking, how can we come alongside of somebody? We're going to judge them. We're going to speak harshly to them or about them. These things ought not to be so. He loved every person in this earth enough to die and go on the cross for them. Matthew 25:40 says, as you have done it to the least of these, so you have done it to me. Now that makes us shake in our boots. If we can remember that before we speak, that what's coming out of my mouth, the way I'm treating somebody, the way I'm talking to somebody, I might as well be saying it to the Lord. When we lived in Hungary in Italy, you know, we didn't speak the language. I honestly didn't even know where Hungary was at the time. But we needed to learn the language. If we were going to communicate with the people in Hungary, we needed to learn how to speak Hungarian. And I was 40 at the time, and let me tell you, it doesn't come easy. But you try, because communication is key and you want to speak with people. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes practice. And then, you know, after 7 years there, God was raising up a Hungarian guy to pastor the church, and we were going to be moving over to Italy. And so I had decided to learn online how to speak Italian, because I thought, well, I kind of remember Spanish from sixth grade. It might come back to me, right? It didn't. But I wanted to learn it before we even got there, because I wanted to be able to communicate with people, because communication, it's part of life. It's so important in life. So I learned some phrases, and then once we moved there, I bought a book. I bought a grammar book. And I started reading it and giving myself A pluses because I was moving along so well. And then I go out to speak to people, and they're kind of looking at me like, what? And so I'm reading the words and I'm doing the grammar properly, but I'm not pronouncing the words properly. Right? I didn't have the correct enunciation. The book taught me what I needed to know, but I needed to practice. I needed to speak out loud to other people. Hungarian and Italian, they weren't our first languages, but we had to learn them. And the language of heaven is not our first language, but we have to learn it. We have to practice it. We can read our Bibles, and we must read our Bibles. It is the instruction for our lives. But then we don't just fold it up and say, okay, I'm going on my way today. Oops, lost my page. I'm going on my way today. No, we have to take the words that we've read and we have to put it into practice. There's so many verses in our Bibles that warn us about our speech. We need to take the time to let the word of Christ dwell in us, and not just dwell in us, but dwell in us richly. That we would become deeply rooted in his word. His word would go down deep within the core of our being and spring forth his life into our being. And what is that result? When we do that, when we're obedient to practice and put into practice what we've learned through his word, then we're able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. This is the language that God wants us to practice. This is the language that God has given to us. And don't we want that? Don't we? We're going to heaven. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we are going to heaven. We are going to be citizens of heaven. And so why wouldn't we want to practice that language now? Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can kill. It doesn't need much to ignite it. A little bit of gossip, speaking out in anger, a sarcastic remark. How many of us suffer from that? Not suffer, but you know, we struggle with that. Yes, amen, right? Sarcasm. Because then we have a little bit of wiggle room. Well, it was a joke. You should have known that. No, sarcasm needs to just get cut right out of our vocabulary. A small fire sets a forest ablaze. And this was very big on my heart, preparing this. Just because we don't say it and we type it, it's just as dangerous. The keyboard has become another mouthpiece in our society. The power of the pen, the power of the keyboard can destroy just as much as if we're speaking words to one another. We have freedom. We are so blessed to live in the United States and have freedom. But with freedom comes a responsibility. I looked this up too. In 2014, which didn't have time to look at later results, but suicide was the second leading cause among teen girls. Teen girls. Globally, it's the leading cause of death in females ages 15 to 19. 17.7 seriously considered attempting suicide. 14.6% formulated a plan to commit suicide. 8.6 attempted. And it's not only attempting suicide or thinking about suicide, but there is a horrendous amount of population that does self-harm, that cuts themselves, that starve themselves, that burn themselves, that offer themselves because they're in pain. I hate that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never. I didn't even want to look it up because then I would get in my flesh. Like, who said it? Words hurt. Words harm. They destroy long after we've said them. Because what is the power of a tool of Satan? He loves to bring back to our memory things that people said about us, things that people say to us. They cause pain. Our youth are hurting. The women in our churches are hurting. Even the ones that are sitting with us. There's a lot of pain going on in life. Words that have destroyed friendships, marriages, relationships with our children. Be careful when you sit at the keyboard. Be careful when you're on your phone texting. We probably don't need to write most of the things and respond to all the things that we respond to, especially in this time when we have an election year coming. His wisdom. Let the Lord guide your words, our hands. In Luke 6:45, we read that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are we overflowing with? What is the abundance of our heart? Is it the words of God? Is it the sweet smelling aroma of God? Or is it coming from the pit of hell? I found myself thinking back, you know, in this time, it was hard. This is a hard chapter. These are hard things that James is telling us throughout his whole book. And I just thought, and I wept some of the days because I'm thinking, you know, of all the things that people could say about me and they have said and how it's just like, you know, just can bring you down so low. And then I wept because the Lord brought to my remembrance in my pity party, Margie, but what about the words that you have said? What about the things that's come out of your mouth? And I wept because I don't know that I can go back and apologize to these people, but I can go be on my knees before the Lord and ask him to forgive me and to comfort and to bring solace to those people that I have hurt with my words. To ask the Lord for a cleansing, for a healing, for forgiveness. And so what do? Do we just throw down our hands and just say, well, I give up because I am everything that we've talked about today, I'm guilty of? No, we don't do that because we have an answer. We have the Holy Spirit living and abiding in us. We do not need to feel defeated. We do not need to feel hopeless. Whether we're the ones that have said the words, whether we're the ones who have caused harm, or whether we're the recipients, we're probably all in this room have both, right? I don't think any of us are perfect and have gone throughout life without saying one wrong thing. If you are, hallelujah. But we need to remember Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, is that a glorious truth? There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in. That's the key, that we are in Jesus Christ. That for those of us that don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Conviction? Yes. We want the Holy Spirit to convict us. Because once we're convicted, then we can confess it, and then we can ask for his help to change us. But condemnation, absolutely not. Condemnation is not from the Lord. If we go back to verse 8 in James, we see that James says that no human being can tame the tongue. No human can tame the tongue. But thankfully, the one who made our tongue can tame our tongue. We can't do it, but Jesus can. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all. It doesn't help us to sit on our beds in the morning and say, I'm going to be such a good girl today. I'm not going to say anything I shouldn't say. We have the best intentions, but we fail in our intentions because we're just human people. And we're not always walking in the Spirit. We're not always being led by the Spirit. But we can turn to Jesus. He can tame our tongue. He wants to tame our tongue. We cannot rely on ourselves, not even in our own flesh and what we can do and our determination. When we're spiritually thirsty, we go to the living well and we take a drink. If we want to grow in our walks with the Lord, then we abide in the vine. If we want our tongue to be tamed, then we call upon the Holy Spirit to help us. The only way to tame our tongue is to have our hearts transformed. And who is the only one that can transform our heart? Jesus Christ, the one who made our hearts, can transform our hearts. And the only way he can transform our hearts is if we yield it to him, if we surrender it first to him. Jesus paid the penalty for every wrong word that you or I have ever said was nailed at the cross with Jesus. So therefore, we don't need to live in condemnation. We don't need to just stand right here, helpless and hopeless. We look to Jesus. We look to the cross. We look for the blood that was shed for each and every one of our sins, including our words. No, we cannot take them back, but we can give them to him. We can look to him as our example, as he hung on that cross, as he was being mocked, as accusations were being thrown at him, as a sword was piercing through his side. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, you're going to get yours in the end? No. He said, Father, forgive them. This is the example. This is the example from our Lord that he wants us to follow. Who are we to say when Jesus Christ has forgiven us for every single thing that we have done and said that we can't forgive somebody else because of what they said to us? No. We go to Jesus. We look to the cross. We surrender all to him because that is the only way that healing can begin. Not when we're drowning in self-pity, not when we're drowning in sorrow, not when we're drowning in the why and the how come. But when we humble ourselves and we get sick and tired of the same voices going over and over in our head and repeating those awful things, and we surrender it to Jesus, the only way that we can heal the wounds is to go to the one who was wounded for our transgressions. And not just our transgressions, but to those who have transgressed against us. I feel like God just wants us to let it go. What is stopping us from moving forward in our walk with him? What is stopping us from being used by him? It's our thoughts. It's the condemnation. It's the place that we're just listening to the lies of the enemy. And we need to just surrender it over to the Lord. My prayer is that we would continue to look to Jesus, that we're challenged to look to Jesus. And I'm not trying to say like the words that people say don't hurt us or vice versa. They do. And they're going to not just stop coming up. But when they come up, don't entertain them. You say, you know what, Lord? You died for this person too. You died for the words that were spoken to me. You died for the words that I've spoken to others. And I'm just going to choose. It's a choice. I'm going to surrender it to you so it doesn't have a stronghold in my life anymore. God wants us to be those women that he created us to be. He created each and every one of us in his image. He wants to use us. He wants us to be women that use our words for good and not for evil, to build up and to not tear down, to speak grace into one another's lives rather than condemnation, and to be example to those who are around us, to be set apart not only in our actions but in our words. Let's be women that practice the pause. Don't speak just because you feel like it. That we would practice the pause and not participate in conversations that aren't edifying, that aren't building up, that aren't bringing glory to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the hard words. We're thankful for the challenging words. We're thankful, Lord, that you inspired these words to James to speak to us. Lord, to just have a deep, long heart search and see what's inside of us, Lord, to allow healing to begin, to allow forgiveness to begin. Lord, we need your help to surrender Lord, we do ask that you would set a guard over our mouths. Help us to pause, to not just freely speak every word that comes to our minds. We don't need to say it out loud. That our words would be seasoned with salt. They would bring healing and all that you desire them to be. In Jesus' name. You know, we're going to have a time of response. You just take time and pray. Pray quietly if you want prayer, if you want to just raise your hand up, and people that are around you can pray. You don't need to know stories. You know, we all have our own stories. The Lord knows, and that's what's important. But don't leave here today not healed. Don't leave the way you came in with burdens. Give them to the Lord and allow him to start healing. Amen.